Yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Big Wavy Roy Johnson here.
Hello everyone, this is the Interview Queen, Alicia Too.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis.
This is the professional Nathan Crew.
This is Veggie.
This is the Callahan Death Machine in the draw, and the face of Impact Wrestling, Sammy Callahan.
The one and only shot under Willie Mack.
This is Shreddy Brick, a.k.a. Mr. Clangin' and Bangin'.
And you're listening.
You
are listening to
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious. Hey, yeah.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin. I'm delighted to be joined by Mr. WrestleMania himself, Nick Davey.
Good evening. I was at WrestleMania 34, just for the record. New Orleans.
I don't think you've ever mentioned that on the show before. That's your one per show.
Exactly. Just had to get it. I remember I didn't say it last week on the show as well, I don't think. So I feel like I have to get it to say it twice now on tonight's show. But yeah, we'll get it nice and early for tonight's one.
How are you doing this evening?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Yourself?
Good. I think I'm down with another bloody cold. But,
have you ever shaken a cold off for like the last 6 years?
I think I get a cold, and then my son gets a cold. I get the cold back off him, and then I give him the cold back, and then he gives me the cold back. So it's having a 4-year-old; they're just constantly ill.
Yeah, so. they pick it up all the time at school and everything, and then yeah.
All right, so now Oliver this week, but I'm sure you'll agree we've got more than adequate replacements in one half of the RWA Tag Team Champions, the Playboy Prince of Professional Wrestling, Lance Rivera.
Hello.
How you doing, Zero, Lance?
I'm not too bad. When you speak about having this cold, it's like being in the front line. This is what happens to us. Jack comes in ill, and then I get it, and then Stacey gets it, and he gets passed around a lot of us about 6 times.
Girlfriend works in a primary school, and then a 4-year-old, so they're constantly just bringing.
You're just asking for trouble.
Yeah.
I've been alright with the illness. I haven't had a sick day for since 2018 July. We know exactly what's happening for the rest of the week now, don't we?
Well, yeah, you've just jinxed yourself now.
Yeah.
Just for the record, by the way, at WrestleMania 34, I was sat in Disciples' front room.
Yeah.
Big Disciples, just so everyone knows where I was for WrestleMania 34.
Yeah, I'm sure I tried to stay up and watch it, but I fell asleep. I'm guessing that's what usually happens on WrestleMania. So I watched probably the first hour.
Man, you've got to sit through it. You've got to sit through it. You've got to love it and sit through it.
Every year's getting longer and longer as well. Now we'll soon be up to it. Just be like an all day thing, won't it? From like 10 a.m. in the morning, right?
It's like WrestleMania 2000. 12-hour WrestleMania. I'm getting it.
Or they'll turn into Wrestle Kingdom from this year and have it over 2 days, 5 hours each.
I think that'd be good.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Instead of sitting there for one 7-hour sitting.
Yeah, 2 5-hour sittings is better than 1 7-hour.
Hi, this is Matt Davis, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
As well as joining us to give our WrestleMania card, Lance has joined us to promote WA's Night of Memories this Saturday, the 8th of February. So before you get into the Night of Memories, you might as well just do a quick recap of your career for those listeners who missed your first interview. So what first prompted you to don the tights again to the ring?
It was watching, sitting downstairs with my brother in the bottom of the house watching The Rock on SmackDown back when it was WWF.
Yeah.
And having that first Know Your Role video of The Rock from... Do you remember those old WWF videos that you'd get? But they were like highlights.
Yes. And
they'd follow the wrestlers around going off doing random stuff. I had one, it was my sister's, and it got given to me, and I used to watch it all the time.
The Best of The Rock?
Yeah, pretty much. But then they'd like do interviews in between, so it'd cut to like The Undertaker, and they used to have that big cloth background, and I used to always think, what's that background? Because it was just really weird 90s cloth, just in the background. And The Undertaker was like sitting there talking about The Rock, and like, The Rock knows his character and all this. And one day my mum turned to me and went, why does The Rock talk about himself in the third person? And I was like, I don't know. I was 4, and I just looked at her and was like, I have no idea. But I remember to this day watching the steel cage match from Raw, it was War, Triple H versus The Rock, with China at ringside, over and over and over again. And I still remember the finish of the match where they both sat on top of the cage and they're hitting each other. And Triple H gets the upper hand on The Rock, and then he goes to get down off the cage and he slips and he crotches himself on the top rope.
Oh,
and Triple H is crawling for the door and China's holding the door open and The Rock's having to crawl down off the top. And just as Triple H gets out the door, The Rock drops to the floor and gets his feet to the floor first. And I was like, whoa.
Wow.
And it wasn't until I got older and I watched the full match back that the video was completely out of order to what the actual match was. It blew my mind. I was like, that's so weird.
So was The Rock kind of the wrestler you wanted to mould your style around when you started training?
Do you know what? I never really thought about it when I started. I always just wanted to be me. But I suppose, yeah, because I've always wanted to be The Rock. It was like, when I was younger, I was like, I want to be The Rock. My sister said to me when I was younger, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I just turned to her and I went, oh, I said, I want to be The Rock. And she's like, you can't be The Rock. The Rock's The Rock. And I was like, no, I'm going to be The Rock. So,
cool. So where did the Lance Rivera character come from then?
The Lance Rivera character, the Playboy Prince. Well, I was in training one day. I got my name. I just started on shows and I was doing a drill in the ring. And Matt Fox was just pulling out all these names. And he just went, the Playboy Prince. And I looked at him mid drill and I kind of just stopped. And I went, I'm going to have that. That's mine now. And he laughed and he said, it's all yours, don't worry.
Yeah, probably.
And then it's grown ever since.
Okay, if I wanted to ask if you were a fan of the model Rick Martel when you were younger, has that influenced your character in any way?
Personally, no, because I was a bit too young for that that part. But ever since, I have looked back. But I've always been a big fan of Shawn Michaels. So like when I was younger and then I started watching Raw, I used to love watching Flair, Triple H, Shawn Michaels. Because obviously I remember Triple H from when I was like really young and watching the videos that my sister and brother gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just loved watching Shawn and I love watching Flair. Because it was always hyped up about how amazing Ric Flair was going back. And I used to think, like, whoa, this man is just a living legend.
And
having 16 titles and being the greatest of all time. And I just thought, wow, like, and he's still going. And it was like, it must have been like 2005. And I went to a house show in Manchester and it was Triple H versus Ric Flair. And I remember absolutely going crazy when Triple H came out. And I remember this guy turning around, looking at me and going, well, he must be a big Triple H mark. And I was like, what does a mark mean? I was about six.
Yeah. Oh, you're making me feel really old if you were six in 2005. Oh, my fist. That's when Joel was born. So.
I'm sorry.
All right, so you remember the tag team at Frontline. So tell us a bit about the history of the team. Where did you meet Jack and Stacey?
I met Jack on my first day at RWA. Mm. And we've just become best mates ever since.
Yeah.
I can't even remember the first conversation that we ever had. We were very, like, I was very shy when I first started because I was 16. I was fresh out of high school. I just started college. So I was very reserved, and as time went on, we just became really, really good friends. And I met Stacey on the first day of training as well, because she was taking the forms that we had to sign for a consent forms, you know, for wrestling and everything.
Oh, right, so, yeah.
So I was giving her forms, and I remember I was writing on it, and she was talking to me and, like, trying to be nice, and I was looking around and looking at the ring and thinking, I'm going to be in that in a minute. And I was just very, a million miles away while I was trying to sign this. And I was thinking, well, this is mad.
Yeah.
because it was always what I wanted to do from when I was younger. And then I saw the ring there and I realised, oh,
yeah,
well, this is it now.
Oh, great.
Here we go. So that was the first day I met her. And then we went through the Fox Pack together up until we split from the Fox Pack. And then we took Stacey with us, me and Jack, and continued as a front line.
Yeah, isn't it in like RWA, pretty much you either go into rejected or you go into the Fox Pack?
It's kind of the thing.
Yeah.
But as we all know, there is a heavy, heavy crossover between us all. Because Jack has been a member of the Rejected, and I've been a member of the Rejected.
Mm-hmm.
A few of us have been a member of the Rejected. There's a heavy crossover between us all. Cross-pollination.
Cool. And one of our last quick question, Chris.
Yeah.
Have you got any like sort of dream UK promotion company? Any dream UK promotions that you want to work for, like Progress or?
Well, you've always got aim for Progress, haven't you? Because that's the big one here.
Is that obviously as a fan, that is the biggest company I refer to on the show. I will say the biggest company is Progress by a Country Mile. Is that what sort of wrestlers like yourself around the country think of it as? Progress, or is it a bit different because it's sort of a southern-based company? Do you guys
I personally, I can't speak for anybody else because it's completely opinion, isn't it?
Yeah.
But for me personally, I think Progress is that big company, especially with their affiliation with WWE now and everyone who's gone through Progress and come out of Progress. You think, wow, look at what they've achieved and where they've gone. So you've got like Pete Dunne, Nathan Cruz, everyone. I always think that's the biggest one that we've got here, and then you have ICW as well.
Yeah, fantastic. And who's the sort of biggest star you've wrestled sort of thing that's done well for himself now?
That I've wrestled personally.
Yeah, personally, we've even just had interactions with you. So if it's been at a show that you've been on a card of,
I've been backstage with El Ligero. Recently up in Leeds. Not long ago, I was in a seminar with Mike Quackenbush as well.
Fantastic.
That was an amazing experience. He's just a well of knowledge, and the enthusiasm that comes off him is just radiating. Like, you stand near him and you're like, oh my God, wrestling.
Yeah.
He just breathes it.
You just almost feel that passion, can you? Like, when I completely get that.
I love listening to interviews with Mike Quackenbush. I hope we get him on in the future.
The way he is in interviews, have you seen with the one where he talks about wrestling and what it means to him and everything?
Mm.
That's exactly what he's like in person. When you get to talk to him, that's exactly what he's like. Like, you can feel the passion through that talk that he does, and when you get in front of him and you're talking to him, you can feel it as well.
I get that. I love that as well. When you're sort of buying your merch of the wrestlers, when I've been to loads of shows, it is fantastic when you sort of see them, just how much obviously it means to them, how grateful they are, but just as well when you just generally chat to them about wrestling. Like, well, I was in New Orleans, I remember Austin Theory being a really good example of someone who absolutely loves everything about wrestling, from arriving there, selling your merch until the show finishes, when you're packing up your table, leaving. You can just tell it's his love. He absolutely loves every second of it.
Yeah.
It really does mean a lot to you as a fan as well, especially when you're there with sort of obviously Chris more about shit, when you take your family there and what have you. But even if you just like me, go have your mates, have a few beers, it does mean sort of a lot, and it just gives you that bit of happiness as well, how much it means to
the wrestlers. It's my 4-year-old's favourite bit of the whole thing.
I still remember getting that picture with you after that first Wrestle Island show I did.
Yeah.
I was you were messaging me like, are you still here? And I was like, oh, what do I do?
You need to come down to Riptide, as I was saying, and then you can meet another member of Broken But Glorious.
Well, I've got to start completing the set now, haven't I? I've got to start working my way through.
All right, so this Saturday you're defending your tag team championships against Matt Fox, and I hope I'm pronouncing the name right. Glorium Moore?
That is the one, Glorium Moore.
Yeah, yes.
You got it right one first time.
So what's the story behind this feud?
Well,
The story behind the feud,
it goes all the way back to when me and Jack removed Matt from his own group.
Yeah, wow.
When he was, we had our big feud with Kay Lynch. Mm-hmm. Matt lost in the Fox Pack Challenge that we had with Kay. Me and Jack had enough, and we said, look, we're better off without you. Get out. And this went on. And till it's all come back full circle to today, where Matt Fox and Gloria Moore have become the number one contenders for the Tag Team Championship. Matt has become a fan favourite once again, after being from going from a fan favourite to the top bad guy, and it all going back to where it began.
Yeah.
And then he's taken Gloria Moore under his wing, like he's taken me and Jack under his wing. And now he's building Glorian up, and it's like the old guard versus the new guard, with the old Fox Pack versus the new Fox Pack. But I refuse to be called the old Fox Pack. We are the front line.
Yeah,
it's about the branding. It's a capital front and a capital L and line. Got to remember the branding.
Yes. Yeah, I remember getting told off when I put it in the tweets once. Yeah. What's
wrong? Oh, I will tweet at you. I'll be like, oi, it's about the branding, brother. Gotta get that brand over.
Yeah. See, even in my notes is written as a big front and a lowercase line.
So, it's a lowercase line. It's got to have the uppercase L.
Yes. So in the main event, we've got Friends of the Show battling it out for the RWA Heavyweight Championship. So you got Brian Anderson versus Harry McKinney. Oh, this should be a clash of styles. It should be a really great match. So.
Oh, I think that would be absolutely great. I've wrestled Brian on many occasions, and Brian's a tough fella. I lost my NXL title to Brian, and obviously I travel all over the place with Harry McKinney.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see these two main event in this show, it's going to be absolutely great. And watching Harry throughout this year take on Rabid Riley, they've had some absolutely amazing matches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And while that's gone on, Brian's gone on to become the number one contender, having matches with me, Jordan Jones. It's been going great. He's been putting on some absolutely classic matches.
Yeah, if you want to see one of the Harry McKinney versus Rabid Riley matches, if you type it into the search bar on our website, it'll come up. It's one of the BBG recommend matches.
Yeah, it's on the RWA YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm. So what should people expect from an RWA show if they have never been to one?
What you can expect from an RWA show is it's for everyone, an RWA show. It's for the family. It's highly entertaining. You have amazing characters, but massive, massive characters. The crowd's constantly being getting involved in what's going on, encouraged to get involved, chanting, cheering, booing, everything. And then you have hard hitting styles like Brian with his karate background. You have massive showmen like Matt, like myself, who'll grab the crowd with our character and try and bring them in as much as we can. And then you have people like Rabid Riley, Frederick, who's got such a high-flying style. It's for everything, everyone. You've got such many different styles. You have great tag team wrestling as well that we're going to put on with our tag team title match this Saturday. You couldn't ask for much more.
No, is there any other matches on the card you're really looking forward to watching?
I'm looking forward to the women's title match. After Kimmy Goldwings had to vacate her title, sadly, due to injury.
Yes.
We have Stacey Rose versus Harley Hudson for the vacant women's championship, and that should be great.
We have an interview coming out with Harley Hudson this Friday. Just a cheap plug.
Well, that's something to listen to.
Yes.
Just in time for the big show on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then there's also the John Baker Memorial Battle Royal to raise money for male breast cancer awareness.
Did I read that Billy Norton and Mr. Williams are being
in it? They are indeed, yes. Yes, they are both going to be in it.
Oh, that should be good.
They've put statements out of intent, wanting to win it. Most of the winners have gone on to do big things throughout the year after winning the Battle Royal. So it's definitely a match to keep your eye on for the future of RWA going into 2020.
If you want to go to the show, I will put ticket information in the description.
I can't recommend it anymore, especially coming to see the Playboy Prince of professional wrestling and the problem solver Jack Sinclair, as well as the sensational Stacey Rose, the front line. What more can you want already? Everything else is just a bonus.
This is James Reed, and you're listening to a Broken But Glorious podcast.
Right, so it's time for our way too early WrestleMania card predictions. So here's how it's going to work. So Lance has come up with 5-ish SmackDown matches. Nick has come up with the Raw side of things. I'll come up with a counter match to your suggestion, and then we'll vote on which match is going to make the final card. Easy peasy. So can we all agree that the WWE title match will be Brock versus Drew?
That's one of my five.
I've got a nice WWE championship match here.
I haven't actually come up with another one.
I did say it's you to come up with a women's title match.
That is fine. I'll be me being a wrestling geek. I'll be able to come up with an adequate replacement, much like not having all of the.
Alright, so we agreed on that. So what about the women's Raw? Do you think it's going to be Becky versus Charlotte?
Not what I've got on my list.
That's not what I would have gone with either.
So who would you get? Who do you think Charlotte's going to pick then?
I would go and say it would be Rhea Ripley.
So if Charlotte picks Rhea, who would you have Becky against them?
See, this is where it's hard.
I'm not going to be. Yeah, I've got my match down. It does say on my contract here, Charlotte versus Becky, but there's also a third woman added to it.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ronda Rousey. Rematch from last year's WrestleMania. Ooh. Yeah.
Well, did they rematch but not have a headline? Do you
reckon? I reckon it'll open the show. Because they're saying that opening the WrestleMania is becoming just as big as actually closing the show, given when you open the show, you've actually got the crowd at their freshest, I suppose. So, I reckon it will open WrestleMania this year.
Yeah, the crowd did die a bit during that match last year.
That's the thing. I think we've already almost addressed it earlier when we said about how long the WrestleMania is. Obviously, it was heading to the 7 hours. You really, even when I was there, you really are, especially when you are drinking as well, you really are struggling to sort of be that engaged when it does hit main event time. So I think for them, it would be a nice little touch as well, even opening the show. So I think it is this day and age in WrestleMania. I think opening the show is, I'm not going to say it is as important as main events in the show, because everyone always wants to finish the show. But
I can ask Lads, if you were in headline, would you like to open the show usually?
If it was going to WrestleMania, if I couldn't look past main event in it, just ending the show, I want to be that final image where all the fireworks go off. That's your ultimate dream, isn't it? And to have that Charlotte entrance from last year where you come in with the helicopter like Rick, you can't turn it down, can you?
No.
that is true. But no, that's my that's where I think it will go. How they get there, I don't know. I'm singing a football song, but I don't know how they will get there, I don't know. But I think Ronda Rousey will be added to that match. So yeah, I think it will be a triple threat WrestleMania 35 rematch.
I like that idea. Should we put that as our women's title then?
Yeah, I like the sound of that, the Raw women's title. That sounds good to me.
Okay, so there's rumours that both Taker and Cena will be involved in Mania. Have any, either of you put them on your card?
I have.
No, I haven't.
Cool. What match have you
done? Well, that's helped because I've taken them for the blue side, because growing up, I've always thought both of them felt more blue than red.
Yes.
So I've put them together. I've said Taker versus Cena. I want to see it again. I want a long match this time. I want to see that proper looking at each other. Not John Cena running up the ramp, Elias coming out, stalling. I want this whole built properly. I know we got it in the early 2000s, but that wasn't real John Cena. We've got the real John Cena now. And I feel like before it's too late and Taker finally says that's it, and Cena says eventually, because it will happen, he'll say that's it. I want to see it before it all ends. Especially with Cena going off and doing what The Rock's done and becoming this big John Cena brand instead of just John Cena the wrestler. I want it just before everything takes off and we kind of lose what we've got here.
Cool. My counter would be John Cena and The Undertaker are in the ring doing a cool legend segment, which gets a bit heated. You think it's going to lead to a match, and then they're interrupted by Corbin and Rudolph or the club, which would lead to like a tag team match.
Oh, that would be good. I kind of like that.
Protecting both Taker and Cena as they haven't wrestled for ages.
See, you've mentioned Rudolph there. I've got, I might have something to counter that already. That's a bit out there.
I want to hear it.
You want to hear it? Okay, well, see, there's nothing really rolling about what Triple H is doing this year.
No.
And there's nothing really rolling with what Dolph Ziggler's doing this year. Look, I've gone a bit mad out there and I've seen Triple H versus Dolph Ziggler. Because I saw it on that Raw that time. I wanted to see it for years. They kept pushing them apart since the Spirit Squad and we never really saw them wrestle each other properly. I've always wanted to see them go again. I've gone well out there for this. This is what I wanted to see because the pair of them are two of my favourites and I went, oh, do you know what? Neither of them are doing anything. Let's crack on, boys.
See, I'm kind of actually like the route of going. I know it sounds pretty not the correct thing to say, but I'm actually a big fan of going down the route of Dolph. Not necessarily always drop, but always losing to like big legends on. So I really enjoyed the actual Goldberg segment, match at SummerSlam. I know I probably shouldn't enjoy it, but I really enjoyed the whole little build up to it. Dolph just slagging Goldberg off, and then Goldberg coming out and just squashing him. Apparently, apparently it was actually a good moment for the live crowd as well. It got a lot of positive reactions. I'd actually quite like to see Dolph just go down this route of just constantly challenging legends at these big shows like WrestleMania, SummerSlam, etc. Just a little 2 minute squashes.
I think it'd be interesting, but I'm such a big fan of him. I've always hated the fact that he gets squashed, and I'm like, oh, come on. And I'm always that one guy who buys into it, you know, when he's like, I'm going to win the title this time. So when he wrestled Dean Ambrose at SummerSlam, I was that one guy who thought, maybe it'll happen.
Don't get me wrong, I do love Dolph, and I think this is actually almost in a way credit to him for actually putting off these segments sort of thing, that he can actually put it off in it. Also, we actually still do think of him as a fairly big star as well after.
Yeah.
It's not just sort of thinking, oh, he's just a bit of a goober, he's not going to get back in. I generally do think of Dolph still, even regardless of this, that he's still one of the top guys, and if they ever were to put him in a title match, a bit like the Kofi Kingston sort of feud last year, I do say it is taken quite seriously.
Yeah, I get you.
All right, cool. So what are we going to do with Cena and Taker then? Nick, do you want to decide? Have them against each other or have them in a tag match?
I'm going to go, given I've already witnessed their match against each other and I actually quite enjoyed the build-up and everything, I'm going to go for the tag team option.
Ooh. Oh, that's fair. I can't knock it. I like the idea.
That's only
would you have them against the club?
That's only I was going to say, that's only based on the fact it's Rudolph.
Alright, so we'll get into the main. So, Lance, what would your Universal title be?
My Universal title match. We've got Roman Reigns, haven't we? And everyone thinks he's going to be facing Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
But I thought, well, we could throw a spanner into this because Daniel Bryan's had this great feud with him going forward at the moment.
Are you doing Triple Threat?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. Because I think Bryan...
So it's the same as I thought as well. So,
Bryan and Reigns have that good story as well and they work really well together. And then we can throw Bray Wyatt in as well as the champion. I really like that.
That's exactly what I've come for as well.
Well, great minds think alike, I guess.
It's a good way to get the title off Bray if he needed to without him losing as well, if they wanted to get off him. So, if they wanted to great moment, have Daniel Bryan pin Roman Reigns for the title at the end of WrestleMania.
Oh, what a moment that would be.
Well, I really like that idea from all fronts. I think, yeah, so Bryan's kind of, this feud's kind of earned Bryan to keep it in there. I think there's so many ways they can book it and book it well. I think, obviously, that it gets Reigns into the title picture. It doesn't necessarily get fans turning against Reigns as well, so they can keep it as that sort of babyface. They're still giving that chance to take on the company again as the leading babyface. But as I say, it doesn't damage it by keeping Bryan involved. And also, it's a chance to keep the Fiends looking like this unstoppable monster, because they can find a way about him losing the match. So there's so many outcomes they could do. And as I said, there's so many ways they can book it completely correctly as well to make everyone come out of it looking strong and getting their correct crowd reactions as well. So I'll be all for a triple threat match.
Well, there we go.
Nick, what's your US title match?
My United States. Okay, so this is one I'm going down the route of a 6-man ladder match. We haven't had a WrestleMania ladder match for a while, have we? I think the last one was WrestleMania 33, I want to say.
Is that the one?
The Hardys return.
Zach will. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm thinking of that was 32, yeah. 32 was when Zach won, 31 was when Brian won. And yeah, don't ask me to go further back. I think it's nice, about time to introduce the lad. And I think the Raw's got the correct bodies to do so. You can obviously, number one, Andrade, if he's still holding the title after he's obviously served a suspension. You can put Humberto Carrillo in, Rey Mysterio in, so you're already up to 3. Aleister Black, 4. Ricochet, 5. And then number 6 as well, a few options you can go down the route of. I'll put it down the route of Cedric Alexander. They can slowly get him back on TV.
Yes.
I
think I was just thinking of generic high flyers, because I was looking at this earlier when I was on sort of lunch and I kept scribbling out names thinking, oh, he could do a job. Then I was actually naming SmackDown guys because, again, I got confused after the whole wild card we had this year. Then going back to see who's actually on Raw or SmackDown. But they were my final 6 that I came up with. I think after careful sort of consideration, they'll be my 6.
I really like that. I'm just really interested where AJ Styles is going in all this now.
Well, I'm hoping he will make Mania.
My US title match was just going to be Andrade versus Aleister Black, just to redo that NXT title match from a couple of years ago.
Yeah. That's fair. I can't knock that.
So. See, that was my plan B, but I was thinking of trying to get these great talented guys on the, and I think with them as well, I think it's quite hard to put them, because no disrespect, and they're not the greatest sort of promos sort of tellers yet. And
yes,
we've said it counts on, there's only so many wrestlers you can squeeze onto a show. I just think they'd get much better use out of a ladder match than having them fly over the ropes in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yeah, I like your ladder match idea.
I like it as well.
Very cool. So we'll go with that. So Lance, your IC title match?
See, I put the IC title on the back burner because in my head I thought it was very obvious about where they're going with this. And I just feel like it's going to be Strowman and Nakamura.
Yeah.
Because I've obviously got the Ziggler, Triple H and the Taker Cena matches. I thought, well, I can't go too far out there, can I? So I was like, well, it's got to be Strowman and Nakamura the way they're going, because they've just done the switch on TV. And I feel like that's where they're heading, unless we get Sami Zayn involved as well.
We could have a 3-on-1 IC title match. Nakamura, Cesaro and Sami Zayn versus Strowman.
See, there we go. That sounds interesting.
Well, remember on the show, I think Chris will... I don't know which show it was, but I remember Chris, I was saying, I really hope we get to, I don't know when it was literally when Nakamura and Zayn started teaming together. I always said from there, I hope at WrestleMania we get Zayn versus Nakamura.
Yeah.
And I'm still holding out for that. I'm still holding out we'll get them, even if it's a triple threat match and Cesaro's involved as well.
Oh, that'd be great.
Which, yeah, rightfully so. Obviously, again, it might even mean Strowman gets shafted somewhere. Like, I do feel sorry for Strowman because he hasn't had a great... he hasn't really had a great Mania. I can't think of anything really he's done on obviously WrestleManias. Apart from, I think his best part was probably when he won the tag titles with Nicholas.
Yeah.
Apart from that, he's just been shafted into the Battle Royal, hasn't he? So I hope that he's used correctly this year. But again, it's sort of when they get to this stage, it's sort of, how are they going to put him on?
I feel like he's going to be carrying the title into Mania. I can't not see him going in with it. I can't see him dropping it.
Yeah, I'll go. My counsel was going to be a ladder match, but we can't have two ladder matches, so I'll still go straight with this. Nakamura, give them 10 minutes, and then could be good.
Oh, I think they could put on a good match.
Yeah. So, Nick, what have you got up next?
Got my tag team title match.
Ooh, okay.
See, I was going to, again, it's another one I scribbled over, but I've reverted back. So, I started off with this match, then changed it, then I've reverted back to it, but I'm still going to go for AOP versus the War Raiders. I don't know what I'm calling them that. I'll just call them War Machine. Yeah, that's the tag team title match I'm going to go for.
Viking Raiders.
The Viking War Raiders
experience.
The Viking experience, whatever it is.
The War Viking experience.
What's wrong with War Machine? Even War Raiders I came used to, but... just get rid of the bloody Vikings part. I'm hoping that they will win the belts back from Seth and Buddy. In fact, can I actually change line? I'm going to get rid of Cedric. As much as I love Cedric, I'm going to put Buddy Murphy into that ladder match. And Buddy Murphy's actually going to come out and win that belt altogether. I'm going to put Buddy Murphy into my ladder match. Sorry to interrupt there. But I'm going for AOP versus the War Raiders, the Viking Raiders. that's going to be my title match. So very relatively easy. I think the Raiders overcome Seth and Buddy. It could even be with shenanigans of Joe Owens and Joe. And obviously a bit like similar to the match they had on Raw, to be fair. But just the opposite this time. And then I see Seth obviously anger out of this and he sets his boys on them. And it just leads to a simple old-fashioned four men kicking the crap out of each other at WrestleMania. One might get eliminated to the pre-show potentially, but I hope not.
Cool. So my counsel would be I wouldn't have a real tag title match. I'd have an 8-man tag between Seth, Buddy Murphy and the AOP versus the Viking Raiders, Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I could see that, but I do like the idea of having all the titles on the show.
Yeah. But then you just have 13 title matches and nothing else.
So many titles, so little time.
Mm-hmm. You can get the titles onto somebody else, but I'm liking this feud at the moment. I'm liking this.
Yeah.
Whatever Seth's Messiah Saviors group is.
I'd like to see them hold all the titles at some point. I think that would be cool. Very Evolution 4 Horsemen kind of style going on.
Yeah, I hope so. The thing is, there's no rush. They can easily build. I'm sure they can even build to that over the course of the calendar year as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, really build it, really stretch it out. I think it'd be great.
Cool. So, what are we going to go for? The Raw title or the 8-man tag? So, which one do you like?
Lads. I'm the deciding vote this time.
Yes,
I'm going to have to go with the Raw title. The tag team titles, because we've got to have all the belts on the show. I'm very New Japan like that, very old school. Like I like having all your belts on the shows.
Correct answer.
Right. So Lance, what's the SmackDown Women's title match then?
The SmackDown Women's title match. Well, I've gone with the returning Naomi against Bayley. I know a lot of people are angling for Sasha versus Bayley again, but I'm very much how can you not go with Naomi after she's just come back?
You've just turned them both heel. You can't have them then against each other.
No, this is what I'm thinking because I've seen it rumored online, but I'm a bit like, why would you just change it already when you've just had Bayley turn heel? Unless you have Sasha be the face this time, but I don't think that would work as well, especially with Sasha's character. I always feel like she brings it out better when she's a heel.
Definitely.
So I think having Naomi and Bayley together would work better because with Naomi returning, she's got all the momentum going forward. And to continue that going into Mania, it could build a nice story.
Yeah, I've gone for Bayley versus Alexa Bliss versus Ember Moon versus Sasha Banks.
That's fair.
That's what I think.
We've got a lot of multi-man matches here, haven't we?
I need to get Black Banks on the card, and I think Bliss is amazing. So I just didn't know how else to do it. So Banks is too big to be in the Battle Royal, so is Bliss. So.
I've already got Bliss on my card, though.
Yeah. Okay.
I've got an Interbrand Warfare women's title match, tag team title match. Okay. I've not forgot about them.
So, Nick, which women's title match do you like the best?
on the fact that I'm going to have to go, based on the fact that Banks is too good to be in the Battle Royal, I'm going to have to go for that as well. I do agree as well. There is too many multi sort of man matches we're already naming. But I think, just solely based on the fact that Banks needs to be on the show.
I thought I made such a compelling argument, then I thought I'd won it.
It wasn't very good. I will give you that.
Poor Naomi.
And I do like Naomi as well, but it's just Sasha is the boss.
Okay, so Nick, who's your match for Edge?
Well, I think the obvious is Edge Randy Orton, but then it depends if they're going to get that all done and dusted at the Saudi show. Obviously, I don't know what's going to happen on Raw tonight of how when Edge is back. I'd like to hope that he's. See, I don't know if they will put him on the Saudi show. They'll use Edge Orton on the Saudi show, and then they both go separate routes for WrestleMania. Because
if they don't face each other, I don't know who Randy will be facing at WrestleMania.
So I'm going to go for my origin. I reckon Edge Randy will get done by Saudi. And then I think Edge is going to face AJ Styles.
Yes.
As revenge for the Royal Rumble elimination. So I think Edge Styles is my WrestleMania match because I think Edge Randy they'll get that all concluded at Saudi show.
I also picked AJ Styles. So.
Oh, that's. Do you know what I thought the obvious one was? Just to keep them. To keep Edge off programming until Mania, not off programming, but not in a wrestling capacity, and then have them face each other at Mania. But now that you've said AJ Styles, I'm like, this is far too exciting to pass up.
Yes.
The fact when he came out and everyone I've spoken to about the Rumble, we've all gone, we all cried a little bit. You just feel it, don't you? You saw his face and you just went, okay.
I knew he was coming back as well.
I didn't believe it. I believed him. I was like, I believed Edge hook, line, and sinker. I was like, he's not coming back. Yeah. He wouldn't tweet about it if he wasn't coming back. And then what did he do? He came back anyway, and I was like, you lied to me, mate. Even though I know wrestling is based on lies, I believed your lies. I should know better.
Alright, so then we have Lance. What's the SmackDown tag team title match? Or do you have one?
I have one for the men's tag team titles.
Yes.
I've gone with the Usos versus the New Day. And I've gone for another triple threat. I've also thrown Miz and Morrison in there because I love the pair of them, and I couldn't not have them tagged together at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I've gone for just New Day versus Miz and Morrison.
I thought that, but then I thought, how can I leave the Usos out of this show?
Yeah.
I couldn't leave them out. And just to think what Morrison could do with the Usos, I thought, I can't not have them all wrestle each other.
So then, Nick, which one do you like? New Day versus Miz and Morrison, or do you like the triple threat?
I'm going to have to go for the triple threat.
Yes.
I think that you've sold it to me based on the fact that would be a class match, wouldn't it? And to be fair, I think I've got Fiedler Morrison and Miz wrestling the New Day at the Saudi show. So, again, I think you can obviously have the match there. You can even have either or win, but then you can insert the Usos into the feud somehow. I'm sure they can easily do that. Four of them three teams going out to see. It's almost sort of three different eras as well, if you'd like. You've got Miz Morrison as sort of the late 2000s, the late sort of 2000s, sort of 7 up to 2010. The Usos from 2010 up to 2014, and the New Day from sort of the present era sort of thing. So you've got, there's a lot of storylines that can go down that route as well.
Yeah, there's so much you can do. Just to look back through the old footage they've got from when the Miz Morrison were together with the Dirt Sheet, and then sort of the Usos with the early Paint, and you can look at when the New Day got together. You could build a whole really nice video package out of this.
Yes, yeah, definitely. All right, so we've got 10 matches. So should we go for two more? Or is it
two more each?
So we haven't got a match with Seth Rollins. If we do two more each, we'll have to do them quite quickly. So if you want to,
I only have one more. Okay. So that'll cut down time for you.
All right, so Nick, do you have a Seth Rollins match? Because we don't have a.
Well, I've got a Seth Rollins match, and I've got two other matches actually. Well, sorry, two matches, including the Seth match. I've got Seth versus KO in the Grudge match. It's going to be a no holds barred, whatever you want to call it, hardcore fist fight, street fight, whatever the name is these days.
Yes, I like that.
I'm going to go for that because it killed. I think their rivalry kind of started before Joe got involved. So I think this ties up loads of loose. I'm a big fan of when storylines actually tie up loose ends. I think that's always been a guilty thing of WWE that they just forget about stuff. So I'd make this into a no disqualification. And then should I say my other match as well?
Yes.
And the other one is.
I like that. I'll keep that as well.
Yeah, I would.
Other match space because there's so I think both men probably need to be on the show is and this is again leading on what you said about Edge and Randy Orton, presumably their feud's put to bed after Saudi. Samoa Joe versus Randy Orton. I think with this as well, you can kind of get to it in the similar way they got to Styles versus Orton last year. And obviously Orton with the classic promos of Orton, obviously dissing the indie side of things, and then Joe obviously a bit more of a beast than Styles can obviously just go. In the Indies, I destroyed people, blah, blah, blah. I'm looking forward to doing the same, but obviously writing your career off. Obviously, AJ never finished your career, and I will be finishing. So, yeah, there's loads of ways you can get to it with that. Again, I don't think it's fair in my mind. This might seem a bit all too rushed. But as long as they can tell a story and they can do it correctly, then it can get there with ease and it can tell a good story. But as I say, the last one we'll do is WWE Russian storylines and throw matches willy-nilly together. But I think they can do it.
I think that'll have a really nice story to it. I really like that. And the match would, even without the story, the match will carry itself.
All right, so we'll leave it to what's the last match of our Mania card then? Oh, it's going to be.
I have the Women's Tag Team Titles match. I have Alexa and Nikki versus the Kabuki Warriors. I thought, well, we can't leave the women's tag team titles out of this, and I thought it was a nice crossing of the two brands, and we can have some inter-brand warfare that we usually get at WrestleMania. I think it would work quite nicely.
We have Bliss in the SmackDown women's title.
Yeah, I forgot that was what I got, and then so see now I've got to come up with an entire new tag team.
I went Baszler and Rousey, but Rousey's in the. The women's title match.
So you could have Baszler and one of the other four horsewomen because they're hanging around in NXT constantly with Baszler. I think that could be good to bring them up. That'd be interesting to have two on the outside and then two on the inside. It'd
be really good if we had Tegan Nox and Candice LeRae. It would be a great tag team to get.
Well, you could bring them up, couldn't you? For the night.
Did it last year of sort of Black and Ricochet, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be really good to have Candice LeRae in there.
Should we go with that as our women's title?
Yes, right. I'm very much. You said this now, and I'm, right. You sold me just on the names.
All right, so our card is Brock Lesnar versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE title. Raw women's title is Lynch versus Charlotte versus Rousey.
Yeah.
And then we have Undertaker and Cena versus Rudolph. And then for the Universal title, The Fiend versus Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan. US title is a ladder match with Andrade, Humberto Carrillo, Aleister Black, Rey Mysterio, Buddy Murphy and Ricochet. Our IC title match is Strowman versus Nakamura. Our Raw tag team titles, the AOP versus the War Raiders. Then we have our SmackDown women's title is Bayley versus Bliss versus Ember Moon versus Sasha Banks. Nick's then put two. So we've got Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens and Randy Orton versus Samoa Joe. We then have our SmackDown tag team titles.
Edge versus Styles.
Yeah, let's lower down my list. Yeah, well, SmackDown titles is Usos versus New Day versus Miz and Morrison. Then we have Edge versus AJ Styles. And finally, the Kabuki Warriors versus Candice LeRae and Tegan Nox.
Now, please can you repeat that all back from the first match?
Where's the Hell in the Cell? Where's the Elimination Chamber? You never played SmackDown versus Raw before.
Stacked card, isn't it? That's a lot of wrestling.
That's a lot of wrestling.
You only mentioned the two Battle Royals as well.
So who's going in the Battle Royal, guys?
Well, the thing is with the Battle Royal, I know it's a bit of a... I really wish they were just doing something simple, like the winner gets a title opportunity at like whatever the pay-per-view's next, Backlash.
That'd be good. Very King of the Ring.
Yeah, well, it'll just make it a bit more like, give it an actual...
If you just get a US title or an Intercontinental title.
Well, yeah, something. Even like if it's later on in the show, like, yeah, you'll get... But like, yeah, even if it's the next night on Raw, that's obviously a big night. You face the champion the next night on Raw or SmackDown. Or SmackDown.
I think it'd be very interesting.
But it just gives it a bit more of an actual purpose, doesn't it? That's why I'm always critical of WWE. They do pointless matches without having a meaning. So you can always make a meaning out of a match by making it a number one contenders match or future title opportunity match sort of thing.
Yeah. I always want them to bring back the classic King of the Ring of you win the King of the Ring, SummerSlam, you're the main event of SummerSlam. This is the WWE title match. King of the Ring versus WWE champion. I've always wanted to bring that back.
I agree. And also, it gives it as well with SummerSlam. It's the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, and theoretically, gives you obviously an incentive to actually go and main event that pay-per-view. It's a bit like the Royal Rumble going into WrestleMania.
Yeah.
King of the Ring is always like that, going into SummerSlam. Who can win King of the Ring? Who can obviously headline SummerSlam?
I'm a big fan of tournaments in wrestling, very much so. I love the G1 and I love the King of the Ring. I think they're great.
There's loads of little tweaks I'd like to make of all this stuff. Yeah. Like Money in the Bank, I'd always like to tweak it as well.
Yeah.
To make it, you can only compete if you've never held the WWE title sort of thing.
That would be interesting.
A bit like progression and progress.
Yeah. Oh. See, we could sit here for ages, couldn't we?
It's a whole new show in itself, isn't it? Stuff that we little tweaks we'd make to WWE.
I'm just going to have to come back on, aren't I? And we'll have to just sit down here for about 6 hours. We'll have to get into a room and brainstorm, get a brain map going. We're going to end up with notes on the wall, like, and it'll end up being like, well, who killed JFK in the end?
We'll put your main event in against Brock.
Oh, that's all right. I'll take that. I'm game. Give me Lesnar.
I am Miles Cameron. And if you want to be Miles better, listen to the Broken But Glorious podcast now.
To finish the show, I've asked the Wrestle Island Facebook group for questions for Lance. So first,
we have
Mike Angus. So how was your training with Hugh Hefner at the Playboy Mansion?
Oh, well, back in the day, me and Big Hugh go way back. He's my best mate, what can I say? I was absolutely distraught when everything happened. But according to Mike, I inherited the Playboy Mansion, so everything's okay. We're all right. We're living in luxury.
Ryan Stanley, do you like the lights out or lights on?
Oh,
is that a private joke?
Yes, it is. Big RJ. Got to go lights on, haven't you? He'll get it, and I'm sure that a few of the others will get it. Mm-hmm. But we won't go into it now.
Graham Williams, what were your feelings on when you won your first title in RWA?
When I won my first title in RWA, it was a big. I don't know. You just when you win your first title, it's very much it means everything. And from growing up, because I when I won my first title, I was 17. So everything was a bit like, whoa, this means so much. This means a lot. And you can feel it. I don't know how to describe it, but do you know when you were in assembly at a school and they get called up and you win an award and you're like, oh my God, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? It's kind of like that. I was like, whoa, this is real now. And I got to take it home. And I remember taking it home and just thinking, oh my God, after sitting and wrestling in my grandma and granddad's back bedroom with my little plastic belts, pretending to be John Cena and The Rock. There's pictures on my...
Not Stone Cold,
never pretend to be Stone Cold. Never once. I was never a Stone Cold fan. I was always The Rock. It was The Rock. Always.
No, I agree. I was The Rock, I must admit.
So there's pictures on my Instagram of me in my grandma and granddad's back bedroom with a weight belt with it had a bit of duct tape on it. It said WWE Champion and it said The Rock on it. And I'm there with it over my shoulder, with my eyebrow raised and in my pants. And then to go forward like over 10 years, and I've actually got a real belt stood there, and I'm like, this is I'm an actual champion now. It was mind blowing.
Wow. Ian Jones has a similar line. So, what titles would you like to hold?
Well, I've never held the RWA Heavyweight Championship. And that's the one title I've not held in the RWA, so I've got to go with that. You've got to finish what you started. I mean, you've got to complete the set.
Yes, definitely. All right, so where can our listeners see you wrestling in the near future?
So this Saturday is RWA Night of Memories. The weekend after that, I fly over to Belgium for Pro Wrestling All-Stars.
Oh, wow. Is that your first overseas
book? It is. I'm officially the last of the international playboys. Thank you, Morrissey, for that line. So that's official now. And then after that is Wrestle Island.
Yes, can't wait. Are you in the Rumble?
I am. I think I am anyway. We'll find out. We'll get a whole ball draw and we'll see where
spoilers.
He is. Hey, it's not spoilers. It's not spoilers, don't worry.
Before we go, do you want to promote your social media?
Yeah, so Facebook is Lance Rivera Playboy Prince. Twitter is Lance_Rivera, and so is my Instagram.
Cool.
I'm constantly on there.
Instagram's something I haven't quite got yet, but I'm nearly 40, so that's probably why.
What, Instagram?
Yeah.
Oh, you've got to get on it, man. That's where it is at the moment.
Yeah. Right, well, I'll put the links in the description below the show. So
I was going to plug my social media as well, because I'm the Playboy, I'm playing with Phenomenon's advocate from going forward.
Oh, there we go. The advocate. Oh, I like it. I've already got a manager, though.
I'll be
like,
I'm fine.
See, you'll have to talk to her. You'll have to start. Got to have bidding wars now if you want to be my advocate.
I've got business cards.
Oh, you've got business cards there. Oh, well, we're already starting.
Oh, I could be your advocate when you're down south. Thumbs up.
Oh well, you've got to talk to Stacey Rose about this, and I won't like to be the man who tells her that.
What a podcast.
All right, so we've got plenty of interviews coming in the next couple of weeks. We have two interviews coming out this Friday for you. We've got Matt Davis from the Fighting Spirits, and then we've got the 9 Stone of Scouse Girl Power, Holly Hudson. Both interviews are recorded backstage at Fleet Sleep Rage Repeat, which is hosted by Just Fabulous Wrestling in Liverpool. Oh, an amazing night. So. And if you really enjoy our show, check us out on Twitter, it's BBGWpod, and check us our website, bbgwrestling.com. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.